Where do we find truth? Who can we trust? The news outlet, websites, and apps bombard us with information. They compete to gain our trust, to make us believe that they have the truth. Our minds and our hearts are pulled in so many directions. With media, we are more connected than ever before, but we find ourselves more and more distrustful of what we hear and we see. Are the images and videos we see real and true, or have they been manipulated, changed, distorted, or do they even create a new reality? Even in our relationships, everyone seems to have their own truth. How can there be so many different truths? Why can't we just all agree on one solid truth? Is there any one person we can believe, or any one source that we can actually trust to know and speak the truth? What if I told you there was a book written in 698 languages with 168,000 copies sold in the US a day that has influenced civilization, systems of law, governments, and culture throughout history? Its contents have motivated discoveries in the sciences, inspired artists, writers, and musicians, stirred compassion and action to care for the poor and oppressed, and has been a source of strength and peace to people all over the world for over 2,000 years. What if I told you that this book is both the most loved and the most hated book in the world, and its contents are so influential that it's outlawed in some countries, and people have been tortured and killed to preserve it? Could you trust that this book contains the truth? In this book, there are more than 325 prophecies about a savior historically recorded and within written hundreds of years before they were fulfilled by one man named Jesus. Jesus is the only religious leader in history to tell those who followed him that, as prophesied, he'd be tortured, killed, buried, but would rise to life again. Even today, Jesus has no grave that we can visit, just an empty tomb. For such an influential and powerful teacher and leader, why is that? Because he told the truth. Join us on April 9th to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, just as he had said.
Amen, amen. Happy Easter, River Church. How we doing? Happy Easter. Thank you. Hey, we are here today to worship Jesus. Amen. It's all about him today. We're here to worship Jesus. I want to say this. If you're new here with us today, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. Thank you for spending your Easter Sunday with us, and we're excited to worship Jesus today for one reason and one reason alone, because Jesus told the truth. You know, the words that we say matter, don't they? The words that we say have meaning. The words that we say are important. Like, I'll give you an example. I've told this story before, but I was thinking about this week, and I wanted to say it again because it was cracking me up. I have three boys, a six-year-old, a four-year-old, a one-year-old, and another one coming in May. So y'all pray for me. I know, I heard somebody go, oh my gosh, back there. Exactly, that's what we thought too. Right? That's what we said too. But we, as you can imagine, a house of boys, it can get rough. We play and we fight and we tumble and we, you know, like you got to watch your ankles because you're walking through the house and you might get hockey chalked, as we say, on an ankle, right? So one day we were playing in the backyard and we're wrestling around and having a good time and we were sword fighting and, you know, not to brag, but I was kind of dominating the situation, you know. And so we're sword fighting, battling. I did my six-year-old Gideon and I were sword fighting. I did a boom, boom, and then a whoo to the chest. He's laying on the ground. As a dad, it was a beautiful moment, right? And so I raise my sword up and I go, say your prayers. And then my four-year-old Judah is next to me at my hip and he says, dear Jesus, thank you for Gideon. Now we kill him forever. I'm going. As a dad, I was like a proud moment and then kind of like we need to have a conversation about prayer, you know, like, I'm a pastor. This isn't like good. It's kind of like last Easter, the boys after Easter, they were playing crucifixion in the backyard. And I'm like, this is not good, right? This is not good, right? Thankfully, hadn't gotten into my tools yet. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, the point is, the words we say matter. And the words that we say have value. The words that we say can encourage someone or tear someone down. The words we say can lift someone up or they can destroy someone. The words we say can give valuable wisdom or terrible advice. Amen? We all have that friend that we go to when we need good, solid advice, and they give us great wisdom, and we know, man, if I need help, if I don't know where to go or what to do, I can go to that person, they'll give me good advice. We also have that friend that we know if we go to them, they're going to give us terrible advice, amen? And if you don't have that friend, guess who you are? Words matter. And the words that we say have value. We all have words that we've carried with us through our lives. Words that have made us feel good and impacted us in a positive way, or words that made us feel terrible and impacted us in a terrible way. There may have been words that someone spoke to you when you were a kid, and this is true in my life. There's words that people spoke to me when I was a kid that hurt me and harmed me, and I carried with me into adulthood that God has to work through and tell you, that's a lie, that's not true, amen? We also have words that maybe someone spoke to you when you were young that spoke wisdom and life and joy and peace, and you've carried that with you into adulthood as well, and it's given you value and hope and life. I had a grandfather, my grandfather was a pastor as well, and I remember a lot of the conversations that we had. As a matter of fact, when I was a little kid, like my kid's age, I remember we'd go visit him in Alabama. I'd get to lay in the bed with him, and I got to sleep with Grandpa, and I loved that. I got to sleep with him, and we'd lay in the bed, and he would tell me stories and about growing up. He grew up on a farm, and he had 8 brothers and sisters, and so he had some great stories that I loved hearing. One of my favorites was one time one of his brothers was sitting on a donkey, bit the donkey's ear, and that thing took off running, like threw him into a ditch. Love that story. But I also remember we were sitting one day whenever I was in college, and I was a youth pastor at this time, and he and my grandmother had come to visit me, and we were sitting at dinner, and as we were talking, I was, like I said, I was a youth pastor, and I was having a hard time in ministry at that moment. I was just struggling a little bit. I was in college. It's kind of a hard time in life for anybody. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to him, and I begin to just talk to him about ministry and ask him about what it was like. And I didn't open up too much because I didn't want to open up too much, but I remember asking him as we were talking. I said, you know, Grandpa, this ministry can be so hard, and as someone who had been in it for so long, I asked him, is it worth it? Was it worth it? And I'll never forget the simple sentence that he said to me was, it's worth it every single second. And I cherish those words in my heart. I remember those as a guy who's been in ministry now, and we planted a church, and we going through some difficult seasons and hard seasons and good and bad, but some hard moments. Those words mattered to me and brought value to me and helped me because words matter. You say, well, why are we talking about words on Easter? Well, here's why. Because the words that we say matter, the words we say are important, but what matters most about our words, or what matters most about someone's words, is this: whether or not they are true. Amen? Yeah, whether or not they are true. For example, that conversation I just told you about my grandfather, if I walked out and I was like, I was lying about that, wasn't true, just needed a sermon illustration, how do you feel about that story now? You can't boo the pastor on Easter. By the way, that was a true story. Some of y'all are like, did he make it up? I don't know. I don't know. It's a true story, right? But here's the point. By the way, security, get this guy out of here. I'm just kidding. They're back there like, what was that? Go. Here's my point. The words we say matter, but what matters most about the words we say is whether or not those words are true. And that determines everything else, really everything about those words, because if they're not true, you can just throw them out. If they're not true, they don't matter anymore. If they're not true, there's no point in listening to those words, right? And if you read the Bible, Jesus said a lot of things. A lot. As a matter of fact, in some Bibles, they change the color of the text when he's talking to red, and it's a lot of stuff. Jesus said a lot of things, and if you read the words that he said, Jesus said some crazy things. You didn't expect that on Easter, did you? If you read the words that Jesus said some wild, outlandish, unbelievable things. Jesus said things like in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He's saying, "I am God, and if you want to find God, I'm the only way." That's a crazy thing to say. He said in Matthew 28:20, "I remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's Jesus saying, "I'm with you in all circumstances, in all times, in all moments. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's a crazy thing to say for somebody who was alive 2,000 years ago. That's an unbelievable thing to say. Maybe the most crazy thing that Jesus said was in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus saying, "God loves you so much that he sent me to die and be resurrected for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, that if you would put your faith and trust in me, if you would believe in me, you could live forever." That's a crazy thing to say. That's an outlandish thing to say. That's an amazing thing to say, especially if it's true. Because if those statements are true, if Jesus is the only way to God, if he's a God who is with you in all circumstances to the end of age, if he's a God who sent his only Son to die on a cross for you and me so that we could have forgiveness of sins and live forever with him, those are some wild things to say that could have eternal implications on our lives, but only if they're true. But only if they're true. You know, Jesus also said some wild things about his death. In the Gospels, if you read it, he tells the disciples over and over and over again that he's going to die. Which is not exactly a crazy statement, because if I got up here and I was like, "One day I'm going to die," nobody's going, "What?" Because we all die. But the crazy thing about what Jesus said is he didn't just say, "One day I'm going to die." He said, "I'm going to die, be beaten and tortured, murdered, but 3 days later, I'm going to raise from the dead." Now, if I said that, you'd be like, "I'm going to another church," right? Get away from that guy. He's crazy. That's how cults get started, right? Let me give you one of the examples from Mark chapter 10 so you can see it for yourself. He said, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And he will rise after 3 days." Now that, of all the things Jesus said, has got to be the craziest of the most crazy statements. There's a lot of people out there with a God complex, amen? A lot of people with a God complex, not a bunch of people out there claiming they're going to raise themselves from the dead. But you know, Jesus had been doing things like casting out demons and performing miracles, so maybe he could do it. And if you could imagine for a moment, just put yourself in that situation. Imagine if maybe you were one of the 5,000 who were there hearing him preach that day when he fed the 5,000. Or maybe you were one of the disciples. Maybe you were hanging out with Jesus and you were around him and you had heard him talk about these crazy things, saying that he was the only way to God and he was a God who was with you always and that he was coming so that you could have eternal life. And then he predicts that he's going to be arrested, tortured, killed, and raise himself from the dead. And imagine that you're hearing all this and you're witnessing all this and you're watching it, and then one day you look and he gets arrested and you go, whoa. And then you watch as not only is he arrested, but he gets beaten, abused, and tortured, and you're thinking, two for two, maybe something's happening here. And then you watch as he's brutally murdered on a cross and you're going, whoa! He called all these. But then 3 days later, he's still laying in that tomb. Nothing else he said matters. If you watch and he's arrested, tortured, beaten, murdered, but then 3 days later, he doesn't rise, he just got lucky, I guess. If Jesus doesn't raise from the dead like he said he would, nothing else matters. There's no salvation. All that talk about him being a God who's always with us doesn't matter. All that talk about him being the only way to God, it doesn't matter. If the resurrection doesn't happen, then Jesus is just a liar who got lucky about predicting a few things. And all of us in this room are just wasting our time. And y'all didn't even get donuts like the 9:30 service. Sorry. They ate them all. Selfish 9 o'clock service people. But here's the thing, church. We're not here to worship a dead man, are we? No, we're not. Look at Luke 24, 1 through 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb. Bringing the spices they had prepared, they found a stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes, so the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. This is the angel who had appeared before them, and over in the Bible you see this. Angel shows up, people get scared and lay on the ground, which kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It'd be kind of scary. Here's what he said to them. Some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember, they said. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. With the angels saying, remember, he told you. Remember what he said. Remember his words to you. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary. Why is it necessary? So that we might have salvation. It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And it says, verse 8, and they remembered his word. We need to remember Jesus' words today, church. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? See, tombs are places where dead people hang out, and our Savior's not dead. Amen? The angel said, he's not here. He has risen. Remember, he told you. Now, my favorite, though, is in Matthew 28:6. The way the angel says it there, it's written there. He says, verse 6, he is not here, for he has risen just as he said. And we can worship today because our Lord and Savior did what he said he was going to do. Amen? He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Amen. Words matter. We're here today. We worship today. We have hope today, church. Not because Jesus said some famous stuff. We're not here today because Jesus said some cool things that somebody was like, let's write that down. No, we're here today because when Jesus spoke the truth. And if Jesus doesn't raise from the dead, hear this. If Jesus doesn't raise from the dead, nothing he said matters. But because Jesus rose from the dead, every single thing he said matters. Because it's the truth. And it's time for us as a people to stop looking for the living among the dead, because he's not there anymore. Jesus has risen just as he said. Praise his name. Praise his name. Because those words are true, because when he predicted his death and he said, I'm gonna die, be beaten and killed and resurrected, because those words are true, then that means John 14:6 is true too. It means Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It means no one comes to the Father but through him. It means he is the only way to God. He is our only hope to find God. Because Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew 28:20 is true as well. He's a God who is with us always. Not sometimes. Not when it's convenient. Not when we're perfect. He's a God who walks with you, loves you, cares for you, pulls you out of the mud always. He's a God who is with you always. Because what Jesus said about dying and being resurrected from the grave is true, that means John 3:16 is true, that he was a God who loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. It means Jesus came, died on a cross, rose from the dead so that you and me can have a relationship with God, sin destroyed, death defeated, and we can be made new and have hope in all circumstances. Amen? Because Jesus told the truth, everything is different. Because Jesus told the truth, nothing is the same. Because Jesus told the truth, history is changed. Salvation is here, not someday. Salvation is here today. And because of that, we can live in victory and hope, not for a moment, but forever. Amen. Forever. Because the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of earth. He has conquered death. And we don't have to be afraid anymore. He has conquered death. And today we proclaim, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Amen. It's all about him today. He's a God who looked down and history, loved us, cared for us, came for us, told the truth, and because he told the truth, we can have life. Praise his glorious name. So how do we respond to that today? Well, there's a couple ways. There's a couple ways. The first way we respond to these truths is this. Because Jesus told the truth, that means salvation is available for us today. And so the first way we respond is salvation. And I want to be honest with you, and I want to help you here, because the primary reason Jesus comes to earth is he comes to earth to die that he may rise, so that he can defeat sin, hell, death, and the grave, so that you and I can have a relationship with God. He took on our punishment. What we deserved, he took on the death that we deserved. He bore our sins so that we could have salvation. He died and rose so that you and I can be redeemed. But I want to tell you the truth here. If you have not experienced salvation in this place today, if you don't have a relationship with God in this place today, then you have no reason to get excited today. You have no reason for hope today. You have no reason to worship today. I mean, you didn't even get donuts today. You're like, what's the point? Why am I here? If you don't know Jesus, but you can make today your day of salvation. Because the thing is, it is no accident that you walked into this place today. It's no mistake that you woke up and said, I think I'll go to the River Church today. Maybe somebody tricked you into coming to church. I don't know, right? Like maybe they woke up and they're like, I'm going to take you to go see the new Mario movie. And then they brought you to church and you're like, the church started in a movie theater, and that happened more often than you would think. It really did. We had people come in and they're like with popcorn. They're like, this isn't a movie. What's going on? But it's no mistake you're here today. Because Jesus loves you. Jesus is calling you. Jesus died and rose for you. That you might have life. That you would have salvation. That you would have hope. That you would have a relationship with him. He's not some God that just created you and then left and was like, good luck. No, he's a God who wants to have a deep, intimate relationship with you, where he walks with you and he guides you and he loves you and he cares for you and he takes all the just garbage in your life and he heals your brokenness and he reveals himself to you. He's a God who's a personal, loving God. He is good and he loves you. And hear this, if you're walking in this place today and you don't have salvation, if you're walking here today and you don't know him, you're not here on accident, and there is nothing that you have said, done, spoken, experienced, desired, walked in that the cross and his resurrection is not stronger than. Today, not someday, today you can walk in relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today you can know the one who created all things. Today you can experience healing in your life. Today you can experience forgiveness in your life. Today he can call you into salvation. Why? Because Jesus told the truth. Sin defeated, death defeated, a relationship with God restored, hope in not some circumstances, all circumstances. Because when you have salvation, finite problems are finite problems. Jesus is the eternal solution. If you need salvation today, today could be your day. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, the first thing you need to do before you walk out of this place is repent, kneel before the King of Kings, and know him as the Savior and Lord of your life. I'll tell you right now, church, God is at work in this place. We literally, last Sunday, walked out. Somebody got saved in the parking lot. Don't wait till you get to the parking lot. Amen? God can change your life right here in this place. I mean, if you want to get saved in the parking lot, we'll pray for you then too. It's okay. He goes with you. But don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, don't leave this place without knowing him. The second response to the fact that Jesus told the truth, the second response to the fact that Jesus came and he said, I'm going to be tortured and crucified, and I'm going to raise from the dead. The second response to the fact that he told the truth is this: for those of us who are in this place who know him as the King of Kings, for those of us in this place who know him as Lord and Savior of our lives, for those of us that he has redeemed and is sanctifying and transforming, the second way that we respond, and the way for us to respond today is this: we worship, 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 worship. Our response is we worship the King of Kings for his goodness. We worship him and honor him and glorify his name. The church worldwide is proclaiming the goodness of God today, and we don't want to be any different. Amen? And so today we worship. Our response, if you are saved by faith, if you know Jesus as your Savior, we worship him because he is a good God who came that we would have life. He's a loving God who saw us in our weakness, shame, and hopelessness and stepped into creation so that we could be set free. And so today we worship Jesus. Amen. A couple weeks ago, or last week, Palm Sunday, the Pharisees asked Jesus because If you remember Palm Sunday, everybody was worshiping Jesus, and the Pharisees looked at him and he said, "You better tell them to stop." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, if they stop, the stones will cry out." And I want to say, church, no stone is taking our voice today, amen? Because today we're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today we're going to proclaim his name. Today we're going to lay all we are at his feet and proclaim his goodness. Today we're not looking for the living among the dead because he is not there. He's alive, just as he said. Praise Jesus. Stand with me, church. God is good. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. The band's going to come out, and we're going to do just what we said. We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to worship Jesus. We have some guys who every week we do communion, so they're going to pass out communion, and if you would like, you can take communion. That's something that you just do on your own time. You can do that with your family if you would like. But above all else, what we want to do in this moment is we want to worship Jesus. And let me say this, if today is the day that you need to get saved, if today is the day that you need to give your life to Jesus, if today is the day that you said, "I don't want to walk out of this place without hope," man, there's altars right here where you can come down and pray. There's a space right here where you can come down and talk to Jesus. If you're walking through some things, if you're going through some things, you can come right down here and pray. And listen, I know it's Easter, and I know we're in our Sunday best, but don't worry about creasing your pants, man. It's okay. Come down and do what you need to do. We want to honor Jesus. The first way we do that today, salvation. Second way we do that, worship, worship, worship. So let us worship our King today. And may someone in this place find salvation. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us, Jesus. God, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Thank you that you told the truth, that you came to bring life, God. Thank you that you're not there because you are alive. And we worship your name today, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship our King. And if you need to come down, if you need to pray, please do. Don't hesitate. Let's do it.